Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. It was in the beginning, there in the garden, in the cool of the day, after the fall and the failure of Adam and Eve, that the word said they heard the voice of God walking. Let me read it to you. In Genesis, the third chapter and the eighth verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. It's unique as to how this picture of the presence of God is portrayed. The voice of God, the sound of God is heard walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The self-satisfying seduction of sin had already been acted on. The fall of man had begun. But yet still God, his voice, his sound, was still heard walking in the cool of the day. The calamity and the carnality that was now present did not change his course or character. It did not change the course or character of God. He spoke, he still walked, he did not hurry. The setting in of sin and self of Adam and Eve didn't change his divine demeanor. God was still active. He was still active. He was still moving, walking, still pursuing, calling to them. It was in the cool of the day that he came to them. In other words, in a place and in a way where they could accept him. But it's especially unique to note that the word said of Adam and Eve that they heard him. Through all the other noise, all the other sounds that were there, all the other distractions and that were present around them, and now especially so, the deafening sound of defeat brought on by sin, still through all of that they could hear him. His voice was clear, it was distinct. The sound of it was familiar. They knew it was him. Even in the stupor that sin had left, they still were able to articulate his voice. They still recognized that it was God. Even through all the guilt and fear and uncertainty, his voice, it caught their attention. It has always been that way when it comes to the wooing wonder of God to humanity. It's always been that way. His desire has always been and still is for you and I to hear him, to see and to sense his voice walking, his sound, his presence around us. Even when there are conditions that surround us that would try to convince us otherwise, it has always been the nature, the character of God to gain our attention and our affection. The book of Job petitioned for it to be heard even in the difficult places of our life. He said this in Job, the 37th chapter, in the first and the second verse. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the voice, the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. The heart trembled. Look at this. The heart trembled, the word said. It was moved. One writer said it this way. My heart pounds and leaps out of its place. The pounding presence of fear is something that we all can identify with at this particular point in time. Our heart being moved from the strong, stable place that it has been used to is now not uncommon to us. We can identify with that. We can feel that. We sense that. But the petition in Job was and still is to hear attentively his voice, to hear the sound of the voice, the presence, the moving, the working of God in all things. For understand this, the presence of pain does not mean the absence of his presence. Just because your heart is pounding, fears are being faced, things feel unsettled and unstable, does not mean that God is not present in your pain. You and I must simply learn to hear his voice above all the rest of the noise that is continually pressing in on us. We have to learn to articulate that sound of God, the wooing wonder of God, the drawing of the Spirit. That must have been why Mary came to that tomb while it was still dark. She could have waited, understand this, she could have waited for the break of day, but when you are consumed with what you are facing, light and hope cannot come quick enough. When it presses in, when it surrounds you, light just can't get there fast enough. It is often in the darkest moments that we find our greatest revelation of God. She came to the tomb. The stone was taken away. She ran to Simon Peter and to John and told them of what she had found. And together the three of them went to the tomb, stumbling, stooping, looking, seeing the sight that once held the Savior, but now it was empty. Does that sound familiar to you today? Stumbling, trying to get your footing in all of this that's going on, stooping, brought low, and looking for something that just makes sense, something that makes sense. It just feels dark at times around us, yet not really realizing that though it may not make sense, you are exactly where God wants you to be. That we are in a place where if we will just keep listening, that we will hear him, we will see him, we will understand more clearly in time. Well, that's exactly what happened at this moment in the Word. This is important to understand, and it's important for us to embrace, all of us to embrace this. The two disciples went back to their home. They left that particular place, that particular setting and scene. They went back to their home, but Mary stayed there. As difficult as it was, as difficult as it can be, as alone as she might have felt, still nonetheless, Mary stayed there. She remained in that place. Hear me, certain spiritual things can only be grasped by remaining faithful even when it is not convenient to do so. Mary stayed there, looking, longing, listening. And it was only then that she seen the two angels. Had she walked away, had she left that moment, had she abandoned that post, that place that God had ordained for her to be in, she would have missed that moment. She would have missed that angelic encounter. But it was what happened next that changed everything. She turned, and there before her was Jesus. At first, she didn't recognize Jesus. She thought that he was the gardener, the caretaker of the graves. She wanted to know where they had taken Jesus. She wanted him to tell her where he had gone, where he was. even though she did not recognize with her eyes. It was when he spoke her name, Mary, that suddenly she knew him. She knew his voice. She knew that sound. When she could not see, she was able to still hear him. When she could not see what was before her, there was still something in the heart of hearts of who she was, deep within her, that she recognized the articulation of his voice, the sound of him speaking to her. Through all that noise and clamor that was in her heart and in her mind, through all the sadness and all the sorrow, it was all silenced by the sound of the Savior. The storm was settled. If not but for a moment, it was settled because she heard him speak her name. Please hear this today. On this Easter morning, hear him speak your name. Let it silence all the things that are so loud, that are so occupying in our world right now, that are constantly coming at us. Let it be that all that seems dead and dying in life at this moment, all the things that are trying to define and defeat us in this time, let them be drowned out by the sound of a Savior that speaks to us and gives us life and gives us hope, speaks our name. Hear him. When you can't hear anything else, hear him. Find him. Look for him. When you feel worthless and worried, hear him speak. When you're scared and it screams at you, hear him speak your name. It should be in this particular time, it should be in all of our life, in all of our existence, that we know his voice better than we know all other voices, that we know the sound of God. We hear him walking in our life more than we hear all the things that are crowding in on us. For it is his voice that speaks life. It is his voice that is risen today. The psalmist said it this way in the 89th Psalm in the 15th verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You know that voice of Jesus today. You know it. You've heard it before. Hear it again. Listen to him. Be joyful in your darkness. He will be your light. He's alive. Even when it seems dark, even when you're trying to find the footing in the dark, he's alive. Make your life go to where you can find him. Put yourself in a place where he is present. Your steps may stumble in the journey. He's not looking for perfection today. He is looking for your passion. Fear may take hold of you, and fear may make you falter in your faith at times. Rise again. Rise again as he did. The darkness may try to defeat you. Press on. Press through. Find that place. And when the noise of all that is around us tries to consume us, listen closely. Hear him speak. Jesus is speaking your name, and he's reminding you that he is present even when it seems the most painful, for he is alive. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for what this day represents to every one of us here. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful, even in the pain, even in the difficulties and the sorrow and the sadness that's surrounding us and all the things that we're hearing and we're feeling and we're experiencing. Help us to be reminded by your word this day, by your voice, by the sound of who you are, that you are present, that you are alive, that through you, through repentance and baptism in your name, Jesus, and the infilling of your spirit in our life, that our life can be forever resurrected. We can have hope. And I pray, God, the people that are listening, driving down the road in their homes right now, wherever they might be, I pray, Father, that you would remind them that even when they seem the most distant and even when it seems that all is falling apart around them, that, God, you have not left them, you have not abandoned us, you have not forsaken us, God, that you are faithful and you are just and you are kind and you are the risen Savior and you have given us life more abundantly. And I thank you, God, for that. I thank you for your mercy and grace. I thank you for the hope of who you are, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you this day.